Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Quarter Three JinkoSolar 2015 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, November 19th. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Sebastian Liu. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's third quarter 2015 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Herrero, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Herrero, who will talk about company's business strategies, and Mr. Cao will go through the financials and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in Jinko's public filings with Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Please be noted that to supplement its consolidated financial results presented in accordance with United States generally accepted accounting principles or GAAP, JinkoSolar use certain non-GAAP financial measures. The company believe that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate JinkoSolar's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared to its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended or represent or substitute numbers as measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be reviewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢Sebastian。各位早上、晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
我很高兴地向大家宣布，随着业务的不断增长，公司本季度持续了强劲的业绩表现。三季度总收入达到6.37六美元，实现同比增长58.2%，环比增长26.6%。第三方组件出货达到历史新高，1063兆瓦，同时高于公司第三方出货的业绩指引上限。
I'm excited to report another strong quarter as our business gained considerable growth momentum. Total revenue during the third quarter reached $637.6 million, representing an increase of 58.2% over the same period in 2014, and 26.6% sequentially. Module shipment to the third party reached the record high of 1,064 MW, which once again exceeded the high end of our third-party shipment guidance, with demand for our high-quality solar product increasing. We are raising our full year 2015 third-party module shipment guidance for the second time this year from the current 3.4 GW-3.7 GW to 3.8 GW-4 GW.
今年早些时候，由于预见下半年会出现全球需求的迅猛增长，我们战略性地部署了预增库存水平。该决策出于我们对主要太阳能市场的需求量，以及我们与客户和合作伙伴在 对订单能见度共同的判断。现在证明这样的战略是成功的，并给予了我们足够的灵活度来协调第三方客户与金科电力的出货以及锁定明年的订单。
Earlier this year, we strategically planned for a surge in global demand during the second half of the year, but preemptively increased inventory levels. This strategic decision was made based on our assessment of what demand would be in key solar markets as well as the visibility our customer and partners sharing with us. This strategy is now paying off, and it not only provides us with flexibility to balance shipments between third-party customers and Jinko Power, but also give us a good visibility on next year's orders.
三季度发电总量达到2.34亿度，实现环比增长15.1%，发电收入达到2.06亿人民币。本季度新增并网项目121兆瓦，累计并网项目达到846兆瓦。公司将稳步实现年底新增并网600到800兆瓦的目标。随着并网项目数量及规模的不断发展，下游发电收入占总收入和利润比例逐步上升。
During the third quarter, electricity output reached 234 GWh, up 15.1 sequentially. Electricity revenues generate 206 million RMB. 121 megawatts of a project will connect to the grid during the quarter, which bring our total capacity of connected projects to 846 megawatts. This leaves us right on track to meet our 600 to 800 megawatt target for the year. Higher margin downstream business increasingly generates a larger share of our revenues and profits as it develops in size and scale.
下游业务的迅速发展离不开多样化的融资渠道。本季度金科电力与中国最大的商业银行工商银行签订了100亿战略授信协议。新的授信将给公司未来的项目发展带来流动资金、过桥贷款以及项目贷款等全方位的融资支持。这是在公司与国家开发银行、进出口银行、平安银行以及民生银行等政策和商业银行保持紧密合作的基础上，再次得到金融机构的信任与肯定。我们将继续与金融机构保持密切的合作关系，并确保资金的高效使用，为公司股东创造长期回报。
The rapid growth of our downstream business is supported by diversified financing channels. Jinko Power recently signed a 10 billion RMB strategic credit agreement with Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, the largest commercial bank in China. This new line for credit will be used to provide us with working capitals as well as bridge and project loans for future project development. This huge vote of confidence in our future is in addition to existing close relationship we have with several policy and commercial banks, such as China Development Bank, Export-Import Bank of China, Ping An Bank, and Minsheng Bank. We are closely managing each relationship to ensure that we allocate the capital in the most efficient manner and generate a long-term return for our shareholders.
全球的强劲需求以及政府的大力支持使市场契机不断涌现。在中国，十三五计划有可能将2020年装机目标提升到150吉瓦，这意味每年太阳能需求将有可能达到20吉瓦以上。在美国市场，我们持续扩大市场份额，并已成为前三大组件供应商之一。除了2016年 ITC 到期的不确定性所造成的抢装需求，美国屋顶项目需求也增长迅速。随着更多地区达到用电侧平价上网，屋顶项目市场规模将有望超过大型地面项目市场。东南亚地区由于日本和泰国出货的激增，出货量环比大幅增加145%。印度市场得益于政府2022年装机目标以及对电力需求的快速增长，市场在迅速扩张。欧洲市场有一定下滑，但保持平稳。与公司长期紧密合作的欧洲 EPC 合作伙伴为公司在新兴市场例如智利、南非以及墨西哥的扩张打开大门。本季度新兴市场出货量环比大幅增加211%。
Strong demand and government support has created many new opportunities globally. In China, the possibility that the government 13th five-year plan will set 115 gigawatts total solar installation target may increase annual solar demand to 20 gigawatts or more. In the U.S., we continue to expand our market share and are now among top three module suppliers there. Aside from rush orders due to ITC uncertainties, demand from rooftop projects in the U.S. is growing rapidly and is expected to grow larger than the utility scale market as more regions reach grid parity on the user side. Shipment to the Asia-Pacific region soared 145% sequentially on the back of strong orders from Japan and Thailand. Demand in India also increased as a result of government's ambitious 2022 installation target and increasing demand for power. While shipment to Europe remains steady but soft, our deep relationship with European EPCs has opened doors to new projects in emerging markets such as Chile, South Africa, and Mexico, where shipments surged 211% sequentially.
技术方面，我们正逐步攀升使用PERC电池技术的生产线。 并正在扩充我们的双波组件产能。在美国，我们与优化器公司合作，为客户提高更加高效和稳定的产品。成本方面，我们通过进一步削减非规成本，保持了行业领先水平。On
the technology front, we steadily increase the capacity of passivated emitter rear cell, or PERC production line, as well as expanded our new double glass module production lines. In the U.S., we work with optimizer companies to provide customers with products with higher yield and better performance. On the cost side, we maintain our industry-leading position by further cutting non-silicon cost.
本季度以及可预见的四季度强劲表现，令我对公司全年以及未来业务的发展充满信心。公司多元化的地理布局、行业领先的技术与金融机构长期稳定的合作关系，以及新的业务增长点。
To conclude, this quarter's performance, along with what we expect will be strong fourth quarter, leave me very confident in our ability to deliver a strong year-end and further grow our business. With a large and geographic customer base, industry-leading technology, long-lasting relationship with financial institutions, and new growth drivers, we are building a foundation for sustainable growth in years to come and delivering long-term return to our shareholders.
下面我向大家介绍四季度和全年的业绩指导。 2015年第四季度， 太阳能组件出货量预计在 1.4吉瓦到 1.7吉瓦之间， 其中包括向第三方组件出货 1.2吉瓦到 1.4吉瓦。 同时上调2015年全年业绩指导， 预计 太阳能组件总出货量在 4.2吉瓦到 4.5吉瓦之间， 包括向第三方组件出货 3.8吉瓦到 4.0吉瓦。 公司预计 2015年全年并网发电 电站项目在 600兆瓦到 800兆瓦。
As for the guidance for the fourth quarter of 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipment to be in the range of 1.4 gigawatts to 1.7 gigawatts, which includes 1.2 gigawatts to 1.4 gigawatts module shipment to third parties. For the full year 2015, the company updates the guidance of a total solar module shipment to 4.2 gigawatts to 4.5 gigawatts, which includes 3.8 gigawatts to 4 gigawatts module shipment to third party. The company expects that Great Connect solar power project with total capacity of
600 megawatts to 800 megawatts in 2015. Arturo
Herrero, our Chief Strategy Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the third quarter in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the fourth quarter 2015 in key countries and regions.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. We are glad to report another strong quarter of good results. What's more important is that we have good visibility for the next coming quarters, which give us confidence that in the coming quarter and year ahead will be strong in terms of Jinko Solar sales. All of our production capacity has been booked for 2015, But also for 2016, we have already big portion of our production capacity committed into firm contracts. We are seeing currently that despite the decrease of demand in European countries, many other important countries are increasing significantly their PV demand. USA and China are leading the world demand, especially USA due to the ITC uncertainties after the end of next year. And China continues with a strong commitment from government with the feed-in tariff program. There are new tenders for renewable energies and solar in particular, such as 200 megawatt in Egypt or 200 megawatt in Peru, in Latin America, or the recently 1 gigawatt tender in Brazil, or even the coming one in Mexico, expected this month of November, after the energy reform has been implemented. India also has confirmed an impressive target of 100 gigawatt for 2020, that even if only reach 75 gigawatt, it would be impressive. During the third quarter, we further diversified our geographical distribution. In China, we sold over 30% of our megawatts. Over 20% went for North American countries, USA and Canada, and also another 20% in emerging markets. Finally, 18% was for the region of Asia Pacific. We once again increased sales and market share in the USA, one of the strongest markets with growing demand in the world. We also increased our position and sales in countries such as Chile, South Africa, and Mexico, and in Asia Pacific, such as Thailand, Japan, and Australia. With recent government regulations, India looks to be another market with great opportunity. Finally, with Turkey and the Netherlands, we completed the top 10 countries of our sales in Q3, completing altogether over 1 gigawatt of sales, a record high in our corporate history and a benchmark for what we believe will be the promising quarters ahead. Thanks to the strong demand, we decided to increase our total 2015 third-party module sales guidance to 3.8 to 4 gigawatt. A worldwide increase in demand, our successful diversification strategy, and our local approach in each of these important markets is helping Jinko Solar to increase its brand recognition, our market share, and grow faster than our competitors. Our sales and marketing strategies continue to pay off as our business keeps expanding in size and geographic reach. We have made sales in over 50 countries in Q3, and we have over 300 existing active customers worldwide in our database. With multiple signing contracts in our pipeline, we expect results to be good for the rest of the year and into 2016. We benefit from a strong and increasing customer portfolio. Shipments and demand for Jinko Solar modules grew faster than previous quarters due to the strong demand from China, USA, and emerging markets, such as Chile, South Africa, Mexico, Thailand, or Australia. In Q3, we shipped 1,134 megawatts, of which 1,064 megawatts were to the third parties, representing 21% growth from the previous quarter. Throughout 2015, we keep our leading position in Chinese market and strengthen it in the U.S., where despite the trade dispute, we are benefiting from the booming demand and uncertainty in the ITC expiration. Over the past few quarters, we have made progress in Mexico, where the implementation of the energy reform is beginning to show promise for both large-scale projects and distributed generation. We are enthusiastic about the first tender expected to begin November 20th. Sales continue to grow in South Africa with a completion of 90 megawatts for our customer Solar Capital, one of the leaders in the past few rounds of the South African public tenders. In the past quarter, we delivered approximately 35% of our solar module shipments to China, 22% to the USA, around 8% to Chile, 7% to Thailand and South Africa, and around 6% to Japan, 5% to Mexico, and finally 3% to Turkey, and 2% to Netherlands and Australia. We will continue to capitalize on the growing recognition of Jinko Solar's brand and localize sales and marketing services to expand our market share and diversify our customer and geographic portfolio. We are also succeeding not only in keeping the loyalty from our existing partners, but continue to increase our customer base. The rapid global expansion of our business has provided excellent exposure For full year 2015, we have been launching different PR campaigns, and we plan on further expanding our PR activities as well as actively attending solar and renewable energy exhibitions and conferences. During Q3, we have been sponsoring several events, exhibitions, and conferences, including the Summer Davos in September, Energy Year in Panama, Intersolar in San Francisco, and PV Japan in Tokyo and in Osaka. Our Chairman Lee had the privilege to be invited to the Sino-British Energy Dialogue held in London during the period that President Xi Jinping is on the state visiting the United Kingdom. We also were invited in Shanghai recently to the Bloomberg Finance Energy New Energy conferences. Next quarter, we already have planned to attend over nine exhibitions and conferences across the globe, including Chile, Bogotá, Cairo, Hanoi, and Melbourne. Turning to ASP, our average selling price remained stable despite volatile exchange rates. Our ASP during the quarter was $0.56 per watt on average. It represents only 1 cent lower than the previous quarter. Next quarter, we expect to see ASP stabilize. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, our CFO, who will go over our financial results and guidance for the fourth quarter and full year 2015. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning and evening to everyone on the call. First, I'd like to walk you through our financial results for the third quarter of 2015, followed by guidance for the fourth quarter and the full year 2015. As Mr. Chen mentioned earlier, total solar product shipments in the third quarter of 2015 were 1,134.5 megawatts. Total revenues were $637.6 million, an increase of 26.6% sequentially and an increase of 58.2% year-over-year. Gross margin was 21.3% compared to 20.7% in the second quarter of 2015 and 20.6% in the third quarter of 2014. The sequential increase was mainly due to the continued cost reductions of solar modules and the increase of electricity revenues. Income from operations was $60.4 million compared to $38.2 million in the second quarter of 2015 and $39.1 million in the third quarter of 2014. Total operating expenses were $75.6 million, an increase of 12.7% sequentially and an increase of 66.5% year-over-year. The sequential increase in operating expenses was mainly due to the increase in shipping and warranty costs associated with the increase of module shipments and stock-based compensation expenses. The company's operating expenses, excluding stock-based compensation and the change in provision for doubtful accounts, represented 12.2% of its total revenues, representing an increase from 13.2% sequentially and an increase from 11.5% year-over-year. Operating margin was 9.5% compared to 7.4% in the second quarter of 2015 and 9.4% in the third quarter of last year. Net interest expense was $23 million, an increase of 83.9% sequentially and an increase of 100.2% year-over-year. We recorded an exchange loss of $19.1 million, primarily due to unexpected depreciation of RMB against US dollars in the third quarter. We recognized a gain of $24.9 million from the change in fair value of convertible senior notes, which was offset by a loss of $7.4 million from the change in fair value of capped call options. We recognized an income tax expense of $5.4 million compared to an income tax benefit of $0.3 million in the second quarter of 2015 and an income tax benefit of $25.1 million during the third quarter of 2014. Net income was $30.7 million compared to $12.3 million in the second quarter of 2015 and $45.7 million in the third quarter of 2014. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.48, respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $39.8 million compared to $33.4 million in the second quarter of 2015 and $52.5 million in the third quarter of 2014. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.28 and $1.04, respectively. I'd now like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of September 30, 2015, the company had $584.2 million in cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash. As of September 30, 2015, total short-term borrowings, including the current portion of long-term bank borrowings, were $744 million, compared to $657.7 million as of June 30, 2015. Total long-term borrowings were $544.6 million as of September 30, 2015, compared to $344 million as of June 30, 2015. As of September 30, 2015, the company's working capital was negative $116.1 million, compared to a deficit of $285.4 million as of June 30, 2015. For the fourth quarter 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 1.4 gigawatts to 1.7 gigawatts, which includes 1.2 gigawatts to 1.4 gigawatts module shipments to third parties. Revenues will not be recognized for the modules shipped to its own downstream projects as required by US GAAP. For the full year 2015, the company updates the guidance of total solar module shipments to 4.2 gigawatts to 4.5 gigawatts, which includes 3.8 gigawatts to 4 gigawatts module shipments to third parties. The company expects to grid connect solar power projects with a total capacity of 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts in 2015. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. Your first question comes from Philip Sheen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. Apologies if I missed some of the prepared remarks as I was jumping between calls. But in terms of 2016, to what degree, I know you don't have guidance out there, but can you talk about how you see demand developing in 2016? How much of Q1 is booked right now, and what regions, what kind of mix could we see in 2016?
Phillips, 2016, we believe it's another very strong year for solar sectors, and total global demand is around 65 gigawatts, up 15% to 20%. As Tier 1 companies, we believe Jinko is in the best position to catch up more global market share, and we are confident we can deliver a higher growth rate. In terms of the visibilities for the first quarter, over 80% capacity was booked for Jinko, and for the total 2016, over 50% capacity was booked. The growth, I think it's driven from the China, United States, and the other emerging markets, including South Africa, Chile, Mexico, and maybe Arturo can supplement more.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. This is Arturo Herrero. Phillips, mainly after these 4 years of difficulties in the solar industry, we are seeing a very strong coming market. We have a very strong visibility for the next coming quarters, And this is something that we didn't expect 1 year ago. So we are very, very satisfied about the growth worldwide. The important thing is that Jinko is very diversified in several regions and countries. So we have done very good in stepping strongly in the markets like USA, that is leader right now, because as you know, the situation is booming. But also we have been diversifying in markets like Asia Pacific, like Japan. India is very strong, as you know, because of the big commitments from the government. And then in what we call emerging markets like Chile, Mexico, they have already provided the new regulation for the energy reform. And we are really confident because right now our customers are demanding more than our current capacity. So in 2016, so far we don't have enough production to cover all our customers.
That's great color, Arturo. Thanks. Yeah, what are you seeing? You know, if you have that kind of visibility into 2016, how do you see ASPs trending?
Okay, in terms of ASP, we believe you know the price for the key solar markets are pretty stable, and in 2016, we believe the ASP is stable and down very slightly in the range of 2% to 4% year over year.
Yeah, at the end, Philips depends a lot. This is Arturo again. It depends a lot on the countries where we are diversifying geographically. But still, we are seeing that even in China, that historically the price was lower, right now we are seeing that the price is even higher than some Asian countries, like India, for example. But USA and Europe, as you know, the price is higher. And even in countries like Mexico or Chile, that is still Chile will be strong, still the ASP is quite decent. So it's helping us to have an average selling price stable for next year.
Okay, thanks. One more for me. In terms of your Q3 downstream shipments guidance, I think you guys were calling for 150 to 200 megawatts, but I think you actually shipped 70. So what was the delta there, and what happened? Thanks.
Yeah, it's due to the capacity constraints and strong demand from the U.S. emerging markets and the Asia-Pacific region. We rescheduled some shipments for the downstream from the third quarter to fourth quarter, but we don't believe any impact on our total project development scale target in 2016. And we connected 121 megawatts in the third quarter and reached cumulative 846 megawatts by the end of third quarter in operation. And we are on the track to achieve cumulative 1.1 gigawatts to 1.3 gigawatts in operation by the end of this year.
Okay. Charlie, thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, Phil. Do you have more questions?
We do. Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Jobin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. My first question, I just want to look at Q4 a little bit in more depth. So I'm just trying to reconcile. It looks like the megawatts you shipped into China declined sequentially from Q2 into Q3. I guess in Q4, it looks like you're building up some inventory for Q4. Where do you think mix shift would head towards in Q4? And then how should we think about that in context of ASP and margins for Q4 specifically? And I have a follow-up.
Okay, sure. You have a couple of questions. I think for the China shipments in the third quarter, you are right, a little bit lower than the second quarter shipments. It's due to, you know, we need to balance our shipments to different regions. If you look at the shipments into the United States, the emerging market, Asia-Pacific region in the third quarter, it's surging. And we controlled shipments in China in the third quarter, and we scheduled some shipments to the fourth quarter. If you look at look to the fourth quarter, I think it's you know we expected the third party shipments up 20% again, and it's driven from China and United States. And in terms of the gross margin, you're asking, we expect our gross margin in the fourth quarter will improve quarter by quarter. and the ASP it's kind of more stable, and we expect it's going to be flat. The third quarter, the ASP is around 56 cents. We believe the fourth quarter is the same.
That's helpful. And then I guess the follow-up question, not related to Q4, but the follow-up question and perhaps a suggestion, really, could you break out the debt associated with JinkoSolar Power, so the downstream assets, relative to the debt held at the parent level for your manufacturing business?
Sure.
What I'm going to do is get a better sense of cash flows from the project.
Okay.
Thanks.
The debt by the end of third quarter is around $1.6 billion, and of which around $600 million is relevant to the JinkoSolar Power. If you look at this year, the total debt, the increase for JinkoSolar Group, is directly linked to the downstream.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks.
We have another question from Scott Chiu from Daiwao Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, this is Scott from Daiwao Capital. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is regarding JinkoSolar's exchange loss in Q3. I'd like to know how much debt for JinkoSolar is actually foreign currency denominated, and also do you have a sensitivity analysis on how foreign exchange rate change in Q4 will affect JinkoSolar's P&L?
Sure.
This is my first question. Thank you.
Yeah. The RMB unexpectedly depreciated by 4% in the third quarter, and the exchange loss resulted from the U.S. dollar-denominated loans. And by the end of third quarter, we had around $500 million U.S. dollars denominated loans, including the $270 million convertible bonds and the $150 million we issued at the JinkoSolar Power levels. In the fourth quarter, we take further steps and actions to hedge some portions of the U.S. denominated loans. And at the same time, if you look at the currency movement, we believe Chinese government has the intention and capabilities to stabilize the RMB currency rate. So we don't expect significant loss in the fourth quarter again. And on the other hand, I just want to emphasize in the RMB depreciation is helpful for the module business because it's export-oriented. We have around over 60% export sales. By the cost side, it's almost in RMB. So it will help us to reduce the module cost and improve the gross margin in the future.
Scott, this is Sebastian. As you can see that, in fact, the foreign exchange rate, especially the RMB against U.S. dollars, has been stable recently. So we don't expect any a big significant loss in Q4. And as Charlie said, we also do some hedge activities.
Okay, thank you, Sebastian and Charlie. My second question is about the ASP by region. Can you share with us the ASP by region for the key markets? Thank you.
Sure. We believe the price for the key markets quite stable. And China is in a range of 53-54 cents, and Japan 55-56 cents had some kind of currency depreciation. And the United States, it's in a range of 63 to 65 cents, down very slightly quarter over quarter.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Just a second, Scott.
To continue with this, even in emerging markets, we are at 56 US dollar cents per watt. So it's quite stable.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on consideration that there is no anti-dumping, there is no taxes for imports in most of these countries where we have been doing the sales.
Okay, thank you. Can I clarify, the emerging market is 56 or 66?
That's correct, yes.
56.
Yes, 56.
56.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, okay. Thank you. And my last question is about the spin-off plan of Jinko Power. Are there any updates with the spin-off planning at this moment? And can you share with us the latest progress? Thank you.
Sure, sure. I believe now the U.S. market is not favorable for solar eco companies, and we are closely watching out the capital market conditions. And more importantly, we are actively looking to the other options, including Hong Kong capital market and the Chinese capital market. So far, we didn't make any decisions, but the goal for us is very clear. We will complete the spin-off of the Jinko Power assets in 2016.
Thank you. And I just want to ask, for Jinko Power, when do you expect Jinko Power's capital will be used up so that you need to do more capital raising, if not an IPO?
The current funding is sufficient for cumulative 1.4 gigawatts projects development. We expect that we will complete the scale, cumulative 1.4 gigawatts in the first half year of 2016. So we are still evaluating our 2016 plan based on our operational status and the options of financing. So we plan to discuss our 2016 project development scale in next quarter's earnings release.
All right, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Scott.
Your next question comes from Yang Louis from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations on the strong quarter. I just want to spend about management thought around 2016 demand. Given U.S. ITC will be expiring, do you think that global demand will go down or flat? And also about our capacity expansion plan, since most of the capacity has been booked, so we'll be building our own capacities or leveraging on OEM. Thank you.
Sure. I think we just emphasized 2016 is very strong for the solar sector, and you're right, for the tier one companies, all companies are facing capacity constraints. We believe the global market of demand is 15% to 20%, and for Jinko, we are very confident that we can deliver over 30% year over year growth in terms of the third party shipments. For the capacity expansion, by the end of third quarter, we had 3 gigawatts for wafer, 2.5 gigawatts for cell, and 4 gigawatts for solar modules. And we plan to adopt a disciplined capacity expansion approach in 2016. Which means we will continue to expand module capacity to catch up the high growth and the demand in 2016, while being relatively conservative on wafer and the cell side. And for the wafer, we plan to increase the capacity from 3 gigawatts to 3.3 gigawatts by upgrading existing equipment. For the cell capacity, we plan to increase from 2.5 gigawatts to 3 gigawatts. For module, our plan is to increase from 4 gigawatts to 5.3 gigawatts. All the capacity expansion will be completed in the first quarter 2016.
Thank you very much. And for the module, capacity adding will be in China mainly or Southeast Asia?
Wafer capacity is in China. And for cell and module capacity, we are considering both China and overseas market. And we are still evaluating, and we plan to disclose in the next quarter earnings release for the detailed capacity allocation between China and overseas market.
But generally speaking, probably China will be, you know, most of the capacity expansion will be in China.
I see. Just to confirm, it's 5.3 gigawatts in the first quarter for module, right?
For in the first half year, 2016, 5.3 gigawatts.
Sure, thank you. And my next question is about a cost reduction roadmap. Previously, it's guided every quarter will be reduced by 1 cent. What about maybe a long term, maybe in 2016, given the potential lowering feed-in tariff over the years, is there a company guidance for the cost reduction as well? Thank you.
In terms of cost per reduction, we are still on the track to reduce our module cost. The third quarter, the in-house module cost was 41 cents, improved one cent quarter over quarter, and we are targeting to achieve 40 cents in-house module cost by the end of this year. And next year, in 2016, and our target is to cut the non-silicon in-house module cost by 5% to 8% again.
Thank you. And my last question is about downstream, the subsidy catalog. Last quarter, remember, is 100 megawatts was on the catalog. Wondering if there's any update, and will the subsidy payment issue impact our decision for the downstream next year development? Thank you.
Okay. We are still waiting for the approval subsidy catalog. And I think the green energy is the key for China in the next 5-year plan. And the National Energy Administration has showed strong commitment to resolve the issue as quickly as possible in recent meetings. And I think you understand NEA rolled out the draft plan for the next 5-year feed-in tariff reductions. We believe it's positive. The new policies will help the government to have the visibility towards the total scale of feed-in tariff in the next 5 years. And the next step is NDRC is planning to increase the renewable surcharge and accelerate, approve the next round subsidy catalog by the end of this year or in the first quarter of 2016.
Yes, just one thing to end. You can say Chinese government, this is Sebastian, you can say Chinese government is keep cutting the interest rate. So that means that the valuation of our downstream project is increasing. We already see that this trend from the market, so that's a very good sign for us.
Yeah, the continued downstream solar assets cost reduction and plus the interest cut help to lift the solar project's returns. We did some sensitivity analysis. If the interest rate is cut by 1%, the IRR with leverage for the solar assets in China will increase by 1.6%.
Thank you. And the leverage, current level of leverage IR is about which level?
15% to 18%.
15%. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Gordon Johnson from Axiom Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question.
Right.
I guess my question centers on you guys, I guess more of a theoretical question. You guys have invested a lot over the years in building projects, and I'd just like to know, year-to-date, how much of those projects that you guys have invested in have you sold year-to-date and in aggregate? And then I have a follow-up question.
So you're talking about the downstream, right, the projects, constructions?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, Gordon, as you know, yeah, this is Sebastian, Gordon. As you know, we never plan to sell this project. In fact, we got lots of offers from the market, but our plan is to hold them as an independent IPP company. So far, we don't sell any of them.
Okay, so with that said, are you guys seeing continued issues with respect to cash collection, given that, as we all know, that there's been some issues with curtailment as well as FIT payments from the government?
The curtailment is not an issue for Jinko Solar. If you look at the, I know you see some statistics. China idled 10% solar capacities in the first 9 months, but over 90% is in Gansu and Xinjiang province. We shifted our focus from the west region to the east and south China. So exposure to curtailment for Jinko Jinko Power is not an issue. For the feed-in tariff payment, we are confident, and if you look at the the government, you know, what they are saying is they are trying to resolve the issues as quickly as possible. So we believe that the government will approve the next round subsidy catalog in the near future.
Okay, that's helpful. And then, you know, we're listening to a lot of the reports and calls from solar Chinese solar companies that are coming out, and we see a wave of capacity expansions from pretty much everyone, including you guys, to start next year. Clearly, China's cutting the fit. There's some issues, or concerns, rather, with respect to installations in Japan, and maybe the ITC cut in the U.S. starts to affect installations at some point next year. Do you guys see any risk that capacity expansions of module capacity specifically could push the market back into oversupply in the first half of 16? And then one last question.
This is Arturo Herrero, the CSO. Answering your question, yes, let me first clarify that the ITC uncertainty will not happen until the end of next year, okay, because it's until December that it will be stable. So next year is a huge market in the USA. The other thing is Japan, even if it is go slightly down, still the market is strong and it will keep strong despite the reduction in the feed-in tariff. It's one of the most generous countries in terms of feed-in tariff and subsidies. But besides these two countries, there are many other countries that before they were not in our portfolio, in our scope, and now we are seeing that the demand is becoming very important. One example, as we said, is Asian Pacific countries like Thailand, where we have been selling a lot. India is becoming very strong with 100 gigawatt of target by 2020 commitment from the government. Then we have the markets like Mexico, that after the implementation of the energy reform is becoming very strong market. And then there is markets that are smaller in terms of size, but altogether makes a big, huge demand and is stable in the next 2017 and 2018. And I'm referring to emerging markets in Middle East. I'm referring to Egypt, where just started. They have started with 200 megawatt of tender. I'm referring to UAE. I'm referring to Jordan, that is also becoming very strong. And then you need to look at African countries where they have a big shortage of demand of supply of energy. I mean, they have demand, but they have a big shortage and blackouts like happened recently in South Africa. So they are really in a huge need of energy. So we believe that the expansion of Jinko Solar that is very rational, and in fact we don't have enough production. I was pushing our chairman. We were all of our regions were pushing our board to try to increase production capacity, and we are doing it very rational, very very careful.
Okay, and then one last question. Clearly, as you guys know, polysilicon prices have been under pressure. However, just this week, polysilicon prices were down 2.1% week over week, or nearly 65% annualized. Polysilicon prices are in free fall, yet other substrate prices have been resilient. Historically, polysilicon price declines lead other price declines. Can you guys help us understand why polysilicon prices are under such pressure from your standpoint, yet you're not seeing that yet, or maybe in your view at all, in other substrate solar prices? Thanks for the questions, and congrats on the good quarter.
Thank you. Sure. I think, you know, you're right. The polysilicon price is down slightly, while the wafer sale price improved 2% to 3%. I think it's kind of supply and demand situation. If you look at the polysilicon supply, it's a little bit oversupplied. But for the wafer and cell capacity, it's very tight. So the price is, we expect the wafer and the cell price improved, but will be stabilized.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Cheng Zhang from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
My question. Sorry that I lost connection for a while. So if this app has been asked. So just want to follow up the polysilicon price. As the polysilicon price actually dropped significantly, but your polysilicon price is stable in this quarter versus last quarter. So what the reason, and do you think there is any return potential in next quarter maybe?
Yeah, I think our purchase price is down, you know, quarter over quarter. And in the third quarter, our average polysilicon price it's around $15.5 compared to the second quarter it's $16, and now the polysilicon price is $15 or even below the $15.
Okay, so we should think there is some policy. Polysilicon cost reduction maybe in fourth quarter as well.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, in September, you got a 10 billion RMB loan credit from ICBC. So as Ms. Chen already introduced, that it will be mainly for the downstream projects. So is there any criteria for the money usage? And if this money can be used on your capacity expansion,
the RMB $10 billion it's a kind of strategic agreement between Jinko Power and the ICBC Jiangxi branch, and we are working with ICBC for the project we are developing, and. I think under current arrangement, the credit line cannot be used for capacity expansion.
Hi, Sean. This is Sebastian. So first, you have to understand that this agreement is between Jinko Power and ICBC. That means that cannot be used for the Jinko Solar's capacity expansion. Second. I don't think there are, so-called criteria for the for drawdown of that capital. But now it's a, it's a agreement. It's a strategic agreement. So that means it's a credit line. So it's case by case. Yeah. Once you have the project, then you apply for that project loans or bridge loans. They can offer us different types of financial products, not only the long-term project loans, but also like I said, working capitals for Jinko Power and also the bridge loans.
Yeah. And the financing environment for Tier 1 module makers, I think it's very favorable. If you look at our track record, in the first half year, we expanded Malaysia factories. And in the second quarter, when the facility ramped to full capacities, we closed the project loans for the capacity expansion with Chinese Import and Export Bank. So we have tons of options to finance our capacity expansion in 2016.
Understand. That's very helpful. And the last question is about I want to understand more about our working capital, because the account receivable. Firstly, maybe account receivable. How much is from the electricity? And if I read across the account receivable and the prepayment, it's all increased, but. At the same time, the advances from customer also increased significantly. So I not very understand what the payment term currently in the industry. Can you please give some color on this?
If you look at the accounts receivable from third party, it was around $540 million by the end of third quarter, of which around 96 million is related to the downstream solar power electricity revenues. Actually, if you look at our turnover, it's improved a lot quarter over quarter. Our DSO has improved to 95 days compared to the second quarter. It's 110 days. And another question is advance from customer. You are right. you know, China, because of strong demand, the payment term is very, very favorable. And typically, for the China arrangements, we require 30% to 40% down payment before shipments, and upon shipment, another 30%. And upon receipt by the customer, we get the remaining part. So that is why the advance from customer increased a lot in the third quarter. At the same time, accounts receivable is down and the DSO improved.
Okay.
As Charlie said, you can say our DSO improved a lot. I think that's the most important index we should focus on. Not only in the just amount, the total amount.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. That's for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Shen.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Liu, please continue. Thank you.
Okay. So on behalf of the entire JinkoSolar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day or good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.